blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1-4. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1-4 of Psalter 60.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, the first 18 verses. John 1, the first we read, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou and dost spare us again to this moment, but the callings continue. For there are those who must receive surgeries. There are those who are afflicted. There are those who must again stand in this coming week at the grave. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one in their place, for thou knowest all our hearts, the callings, they continue to come unto us. And we have no ears to hear, we have no hearts to understand, unless thou dost bring it further, that thou may give to us true conversion. And that thou would seek us out when we will never seek after thee. Lord, thou knowest our dead state and condition by nature, and thou knowest the sloth also that is so often in the life of thy own people, and who is able to stir up a dead heart, and who is able to stir up even a living heart. It is all from Thee, O Lord. It must come from Thee. O, we beseech it of Thee in this afternoon hour, that Thou may remember young and old together, that Thou would bring Thy Word in a special way into the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, that we may be given to cry out unto God in our trouble, that thou mayest hear us in our distress and deliver us from all our troubles, that we also may praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that thou mayest show us our death state, that we may grieve on account of it, and that we may be brought to the footstool of thy dear and only begotten Son. Lord, that thou thyself may give us to kiss the Son, lest he be angry, for thou knowest that we have no desire for him, unless thou puttest it in our heart. For he has no form, he has no comeliness to us, and we may commemorate his coming in the flesh. Then it is a season in the midst of this world. It is a season also in the midst of thy church. But Lord, then it must become also a season in our own hearts. And we can read of thy servant John, how thou hast sent him. Thou hast sent him before, that he may prepare the way for him. And Lord, we need also that way to be prepared in our own hearts, that that fallow ground may be plowed up, and that thou may thyself, as that great sower of thy seed, the seed of thy holy word, that thou may spread it forth amongst us, that living word, that it may indeed live and flourish and take root downward and bring forth fruit upward unto thee. O thou who hast eyes as a flame of fire, thou who hast eyes that pierce into the innermost recesses of the heart of man, from whom nothing can be hid, from thy Holy Spirit, thou knowest each one of us as we sit and stand here in these moments, in thy holy house of prayer, standing before thee, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-righteous and just, but also the most merciful and gracious God. O Lord, could it please thee to instruct us in the knowledge of thee, or that we may come to know thee as thou must be known. For that word was made flesh, and did dwell amongst us, and thy servant did say, we beheld his glory. And Lord, oh, could it be that also in this afternoon hour, that there may be a desire to behold his glory, even as the only begotten of the Father. Oh, that he may be so lifted up in our estimation, that we may see his beauty in thy temple, that our hearts may go out unto him, that thou art well pleased in him. Oh, that we also may be well pleased in him, And even and that we also, as thy servant, may lift up his blessed and thrice worthy name, that it may be proclaimed in all its glory unto the most wretched, the most undeserving, the most wicked, the chiefest of the sinners, that there may be hope in thy house, where there is no hope from our side, from a people who have been cut off by that law and from that law, who have learned that they are weak through the flesh, that there is no hope anymore from our own side, that we have sinned everything away, and that we are so powerless to make it right again with thee, and yet that there may be a desire that it may be made right with thee. Lord, then it is an impossible situation. Then it is a sinful existence that they do carry with them in the midst of this world. And then there is only one hope. There is only one expectation. There is but one name, and that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, that thou wouldst proclaim it in our hearts this day, that there may be a relief from the burdens, that there may be an enlightening of the blind and of the closed eyes, an opening of the closed ears, an opening of a closed heart, that we may hear with Lydia of old, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Lord, make it so amongst us. Look on all the needs and the cares in the midst of us. They are many. There are those that are sick, are not able to come up unto thy house of prayer, that thou may look on each and every one in their circumstances, in a special way the children, and in all of their needs, in the frailty of those young bodies, that thou may spare life, and that thou may instruct our youth also, that they may also hasten for the sake of their lives. Remember him who must receive surgery in this coming Friday, that thou may be on his right and on his left, and help the doctors and give skill and wisdom, and oh, give him also a special place before thee. Oh, that thou would give him a cry for the need of the body and the soul together, for himself and for his loved ones. Teach thou us all together to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, remember us as a consistory. Thou knowest all of our needs. Give us wisdom. Give us help from above, and that we may know how to go forward and to lead this flock over whom thou hast set us, or that thou may provide for us when we cannot provide for ourselves. Remember our school, the school board, wilt thou give them wisdom in all decisions that they must make. Help our teachers, our administrators, be in the midst of them as one that serveth. Help our parents, when they do try to speak a little word by times unto their children, and to instruct them in thy truth, and to set an example daily before them in a way that is not according to the pleasures of the flesh and all that this world has to offer. Lord, be on their right and on their left hand to hear their cry. And when they bow their knees with their children, and when they cry to Thee, that Thou would give them altogether new hearts, a heart of flesh, and that Thou would bless Thy word. Raise up men also for the ministry. Could it be in the months that are to come that Thou may remember the curatorium, that Thou may give students in our own theological school, be with our brother, the teacher of the theological school. Thou knowest that he is laid aside for a little while. Difficulties of the body, Lord, spare yet, and do use him yet in the midst of us, and that Thou may give a blessing also in the place where he is. Lord, that Thou may supply for those on the mission fields. Thou knowest also the loneliness. Thou knowest the difficult work that they must do day by day. Thou knowest the discouragements that there are continually. But Lord, if Thou may be among them, if Thou would visit them, if Thou would show Thyself, could it be with a little true fruit that they may be given to rejoice in, then they may be so encouraged. Lord, help them and bless all Thy word that goes forth over the length and breadth of the whole world. Remember the nations that are at war. Could it please Thee, who art the Prince of Peace, to put it all away, and that Thou would bring men instead to bow their knees before Thee. Dost Thou not say, and that when Thou wouldst come into this world, and when Thou wouldst send a Prince of Peace, then all the nations, they would come to bow. Then the Lion, Lord, would dwell with the Lamb. Could it be also in those places that Thy name may be brought, that Thy gospel may be brought, and that Thy word may be preached in truth, and that men may be made to bow before the King of Kings, and that while the earth remaineth, there may be a hastening for the souls of men. Look upon all those that suffer needs because of weather, and because of earthquakes, because of tragedies. Lord, help in all the circumstances. Be with all that rule and reign over us. Give wisdom in all their power, and give them the tender fear of Thy name. Strengthen us, Lord, for the labors of our hands. Give us in what we need in this afternoon hour. Give a word to speak, that there may be a place for it to fall, that there may be a ground that is plowed up, that there may be a little rejoicing in Thee, in the heart of Thy people. Forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We apologize. We have remembered Mr. Pete Janssen in prayer, who has to receive surgery, the Lord willing, this coming Friday. Let us now sing from Psalter number 4, all the stanzas. Wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain, against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign. 1-5 of Psalter number 4. beloved congregation, what is necessary to deliver a man from that great depth to which he has fallen. Our fall, that is a fall into a threefold death. And it is already in the struggle with death that Solomon says that there is no discharge in that war. We have, with many of you, experienced this. When you have stood by times around a deathbed with a beloved one who has been sick, and then finally there is nothing that can be done anymore. And when all that the doctors have done has been exhausted. And if that is now so, how is it then afterwards, when finally a man is dead? Then we say that there is no hope anymore. Man stands powerless before the judgment of God. That is not only in his temporal death, but that is also in his spiritual death. That is, in a special way, in his eternal death. If God himself did not provide for man in the depth of his fall, there would be no possibility to ever be delivered from it. Do we ever feel that? Does that ever weigh on us? Without his love, how would it be possible that the sin against such an infinite goodness could be forgiven? Without his love, we do not have that kind of love. It does not just live within our heart. Without his wisdom, how would it be possible for a judge to forgive such transgression of such a wicked person and yet to remain just? We don't have such wisdom. Man could not come up with such a plan. Without his power, how could a man endure to the end that punishment, that infinite punishment that he deserves, well deserves, and then endure it to the end and finally to come out of it? No, on our side it is an utter impossibility, and thus it is necessary that the Lord himself would provide for the salvation of his church. Who is that Savior? We have heard of his coming. We have heard of his coming in the flesh. Oh, do you say, who is that now, that I may also be given to know who that this Savior is? John tells us in the beginning of his gospel who that this Savior is, and we wish with the Lord's help to consider this in this hour. And what you can find in John 1, in the first three verses, John 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So far the words of our text, Christ, the Word of God. First, His eternal existence. In the beginning was the Word, His eternal existence. Second, His relation to His Father, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. His relation to His Father. And third, His first works. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. His first works. Christ, the Word of God. First, His eternal existence. Second, His relation to His Father. And third, His first works. Congregation, the Lord Jesus in His high priestly prayer did pray unto His Father. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." There was so very much confusion in the land of Israel about who that the Lord Jesus was. Some of them said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but He deceiveth the people." And therefore there was so much turmoil in the land of Israel concerning Him. That turmoil has not ceased in the world, because there are many in the world that hate Him, and then there are many in the world that also love Him. And thus that turmoil continues. He was hailed by the Jews as the Son of David that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then He was rejected by them, and He was hanged by them upon a tree. Oh, that is that same fickle heart of man that does not know the truth, that does not love the truth, that does not love God, who is tossed to and fro in their minds by all the opinions of men. Why would anyone hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, what reason is there for that? Even among the Jews, how much good, just in an outward way, that the Lord Jesus did when He was in the land of Israel. Why would anyone hate such a man? There is only one reason. That is because there is a warfare. It is a warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And that warfare continues to this day. The Lord had said that already to the devil in that first promise heard to our first parents. And when He said that it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise His heel. And that bruising of His heel, that includes that church of God, that continues to be bruised even to this very day, that they might know Thee, the Lord Jesus said. How little knowledge that the church has. How little knowledge of God. How little knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there is so much, not everything, that is revealed about God and His Son in the Bible. But that is not sufficient, is it? Or is that enough for you? Because there are those who do say, with all that knowledge of catechism and confession class and all the reading that I may do and the listening, that is not enough. I know that in my mind, I know that in my head, but oh, I need to know Him in my heart. Do you also say the same? The Apostle John spoke by the power, by the influence, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit teaches us through that instrumentality of the apostle who that the Lord Jesus Christ is. And what do we read? We read, in the beginning was the Word. Thus the Word. That is, in the original language, the Logos. And that is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of that Holy Trinity. There are many names of the Lord Jesus in the Bible, and those names teach us who that the Lord Jesus is. Do we desire to know who He is? Because those names are so very, very beautiful. Not to us by nature, of course, because we see no form or comeliness in Him, but when we come congregation in the need, oh, then that Word of God is being opened by His Spirit to such a people. And then they may be instructed in who that mediator is, in His natures, in His states, and so on. But now, this name, we have the Logos, or the Word, that is telling us something about the very being. It is telling us something about the very existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an existence, of course, that is so far beyond our comprehension, because we are just finite creatures. And yet it is revealed to us. And what does the apostle say? That the things that are revealed to us are things that belong unto us and unto our children. Not that we can comprehend them all, but they belong unto us that we might know Him as He truly is, and that we may be given truly to worship Him as He truly is. Because when we have false thoughts of who He is, then it is a certain form of idolatry, isn't it? That we are responsible to know who that He is. And we may read who that He is in His Word, that we may worship Him not as He is not, but as He truly exists. In the beginning was the Word. And now a Word, what are words for? Words are to communicate. That is why we speak, that you may know. And what is it that we communicate to one another? Well, we communicate to one another thoughts. Thoughts that are in our mind. And we say them then with our words. And therefore this word Logos, or the Word, which Christ is called, that really contains two things. It contains, first of all, thoughts. They are words, as it were, before they are spoken. And then in the second place, it is speaking about the communication of those thoughts, that is speech. That is, those words, those ideas, those thoughts being communicated to another person. Thus, we read here, in the beginning was the Word. And then in the first place, the Lord Jesus is described as the Word of God, and that He is described as the very thoughts of His Father. The Apostle Paul calls the Lord Jesus not only the power of God, but he calls Him also the wisdom of God. So what is wisdom? That is what is dwelling in the mind. That is what is dwelling in the thoughts. Then we go to the Old Testament. And you can read Proverbs 8 when you come home, young people. And then you see how that the Lord Jesus is described there in Proverbs 8. And he is described, Solomon personifies wisdom there. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So he is described as a person. That is the person of the Son of God. He is described as the person, the second person of that Holy Trinity. All the secrets that belong unto the Father, they are given unto the Son. They are with the Son. The Lord Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man, and neither knoweth any man the Father, he says, save the Son. Thus, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and he says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now about wisdom, Solomon writes, the Lord possessed me, that is wisdom, that is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, that is speaking even about that second person. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Thus Christ never became the Son of God. No. The apostle says that he was always the Son of God. That is, from everlasting. He is the very wisdom of God. He is the very mind of God. He says, I am understanding. Thus, that is in the first place. That is logos, that is speaking about the thoughts of God. But now God has decreed that his thoughts should be communicated. Is that not a wonder? That what is dwelling in the mind of God, that should be known by his creatures. And how is that done? That is done by speech. That is done by words. Thus we have the second aspect of that word, logos. That is speech, the communication of our thoughts. That is a wonderful thing in itself, is it not? Because thoughts are not tangible things. You cannot touch them. A thought, young people, that's not something I can hold in my hand. That's not something I can just give to you, a thought. Where is that thought? That is in your mind. You say, how can I give that to someone else? That they may have the same thought in their own mind. And then the Lord says, we shall do that with speech. That men shall speak. And when they speak, then they can communicate that thought and they can give that thought to someone else. And then at the same time, they will still retain that thought themselves. Is that not a wonderful thing? You say, what a creation that the Lord has made. There is more young people in this world than things that we can touch with our hands. There is more in this world than things that we can see with our eyes. We have a soul. You know that. You feel that. We have told you many times what that means. You have a mind. You have a will. You have affections. Can you touch them? Can you hold them? No, this world, this materialistic world that is sought after so much by our vain hearts, that is so empty. Because there is something else in this world than that. Man studies the mind. The mind is very complex. Thoughts are very complex. How does that mind interact with our body? That is a problem that scientists in this world are not able to solve. But if the Lord converts us, do you know what will happen? Then He will awaken in us a reality that God also has thoughts, that God exists, that God has a mind, that God has a will, that God has affections, as we can read it in His holy word, that God has a law. Oh, were you ever overcome with the thoughts of God, to think upon Him? Because we in our first parents wanted to be God. And then we only in our life think about what our thoughts are. And our thoughts are the ones that are right. And we are the ones who are going to rule. And we are the ones who are going to say how it is. And when the Lord converts us, then we begin to understand that it is not us who is God, but that God's thoughts, that God's word, that God's will, that God's law, that God's commandments, they are now coming in that foreground. Christ Himself. He is the communication of the thoughts of God. He is called here the Word. That is the Word of God. So in Him, all of the thoughts and what is living in that mind of God that is being communicated unto men, that is being shown unto men. Do we have any desire to know what is living in the thoughts of God? How foolish and how wicked is that man who can receive everything, every benefit and every blessing from the Lord every day and have not a single desire to know what is living in the thoughts of God. That is actually a rejection of His only begotten Son, because He is called here the Word. Or what is now revealed in the Word? What is revealed in Christ about the thoughts of God? Or preach to us over and over. Then we see that Son of God hanging on the tree. And then we may know, congregation, what the thoughts of God are. What the thoughts of God are about sin. What the thoughts of God are about justice. Then we may know that Word of God, that Word is communicating unto us what those thoughts are. His very being, His very existence, His very crucifixion is saying that there is no passing over. What do you think? Oh, do you think that the Lord is going to pass over the smallest sin in your life? You know what we read in the Bible? He spared not his own son. And we are so foolish to think that we will be spared when he spared not his own son. Oh, in the beginning was the Word. And that Word that is communicating unto us, that cross that is communicating unto us, that the Lord does not look through his fingers at sin. In Christ is revealed God's thoughts about grace, that inestimable wonder of God, conceived in the mind of God himself and revealed unto men through his word, through his only begotten son. Oh, was that wonder now ever communicated to your heart, to your poor condemned soul by his Spirit, that you might know him and that you might know his only begotten son, who he is? John speaks further about his relation to his Father and thus his power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What is that in the beginning? We read that, boys and girls, in the beginning of the Bible. We read, in the beginning God made the heavens, created the heavens and the earth. That is, in the beginning. Then we read in verse 2 here again, the same was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, that means the creation of heaven and earth. What was before the beginning? There was nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing that was tangible, nothing that you could touch, nothing that you could see. That is so far beyond our comprehension. But John says, in the beginning was the Word. Thus he says Christ was not created. He is not a creature of God. But in the beginning, before the world was, and when nothing else existed, then Christ already was there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it, young people? How can something be with someone and also be someone at the same time? And still, it is true. And still, it is not a contradiction. Why? Because it is speaking about two different senses, and that is why we must always study the Bible. Christ is wisdom. He says, I am understanding. He is that very mind of God. And what does the mind do? What do thoughts do? The mind reasons. The mind puts thoughts together. It puts them one against one another. It compares those thoughts to one another. And that is now what we must do also with the thoughts that God gives to us in his word. All of them we must put together. And we must put them against one another. What does that mean? And because it's not all so simple, is it? The Bible. No, it is not all so simple. But now to put those things together, there is so much error that we may take from the scripture if we do not compare those scriptures all together with one another, because it is one word. There is one primary author, that is the Holy Spirit. Christ can be both with God and he can also be God at the same time. How is that possible? Well, because it is speaking in the first place about his nature, thus he has the same nature as God, and thus he is God. But we know that he is not the same person as his Father, and thus he can be with his Father as a person, and he can be God because at the same time he has that same nature of God. And thus he says, I and my Father are one. And so the Lord Jesus declares who he is himself, but also by his apostle John through his Spirit. And for whom does the Lord Jesus declare this? Let us sing first from 235, 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 235. Father, congregation was never without the Son. Christ speaks about the glory that he had with the Father before that the world was, that is, from eternity, there was no world. There was nothing that is beyond our comprehension. There was the stillness of eternity. And yet there was a great glory. A glory that we do not know. There was only spirituality that existed before carnality. We think sometimes that only the carnal things are real. Right, young people? You ever think that? I've had those thoughts. Maybe it is all not real. Just the things that we see. Then when we die, that is dead. The carnal things were not first. No, spiritual things were first. The Lord Jesus speaks about that. And he speaks about a great glory. And that glory was full. And yet that glory could be increased. So how is that possible? That is also beyond our comprehension. Before the world was, when nothing was lacking, before the world was, when all things were perfect, when God was satisfied in himself, when there was a great glory, and yet there was no one to whom the Father may be communicated, because there was nothing. And thus we read of the first works of the Son. What do we read? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Thus how was the world brought into existence? That is, by the word of God. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, and by the breath of his mouth. Thus, the Word, that is Christ, God, that is his Father, and the breath, that is the Holy Spirit, the triune God, involved in the creation of this world. And how was it created? It was created, it was spoken into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. That is attributed especially to the Father, the creation and providence. But that is not without the Son, the Logos, that is the Word, that is the thought of the Father, the decree of the Father being communicated. That is through the Son to communicate that will of his Father. And now what is the purpose? The purpose of that creation, then that first work of Christ, was to do what? That is to create a creature. A creature to whom the glory of the Father may be communicated. Someone who may receive the Word. someone who may be spoken to, someone who may have that same image of God, not in the narrow sense now, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, but in the wider sense, that same image of God, the rationality of God, that reasoning power, the ability to receive thoughts. The Lord says, I will make man in my own image. That man that may receive the thoughts of God from my only begotten Son, my thoughts being given unto them, that they might know me, and with that knowledge they may worship me in truth. Thus the purpose of our creation. Man is created that he might know God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He is created with that capacity to know. Not the animals. They have not that same rationality. To know God and to worship God. Did we lose that? Did we lose that in the fall? We did not lose our rationality. We did not lose the capacity. We did not become a beast. We have remained mankind. But that capacity, that ability of the mind, that mind we read is darkened. Oh, that mind does not know anymore who God is. Does not know anymore his law. It does not reason anymore rightly. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? He says, ye do greatly err. You err concerning God. You err concerning me. Thus that darkened understanding. And an understanding that is prejudiced. That is prejudiced because of a corrupt will. Prejudiced because of corrupt affections. We do not sin because we do not know it is sin. No, so often we do know it, don't we? And we do it anyway. Why? Because we want to. Because we love it. That is the will. That is the affections. And so our choices, they go over that mind, that darkened understanding. And man sins against God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But is the Spirit of the Lord inspired John to say it again? Did not the Lord Jesus condemn the vain repetitions of the Pharisees? Oh, it is not a vain repetition. Oh, how difficult. That is, for God's poor people, in all of their anxieties, in all of their fears, to learn something of this truth, that that Word is God. The Lord Jesus, 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, fed them all. Baskets full remaining. And then later, 4,000 people. And what did the disciples say? Where shall we provide so much bread to feed this multitude? Oh, that divinity, that power of that Savior, that He was with God, yes, but that He also is God. You know, they went out then in a ship. They went in a ship. Then there is a storm. They are afraid. Oh, that divinity, that Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a slow learning people, isn't it? And he comes with what? One word of his power. And then they marvel. They say, who is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Oh, that instruction that he is God. That is not learned so quickly by the people. The same was in the beginning with God. He repeats it. He repeats it for them. Oh, how many times does the Lord not need to say it over, people of the Lord? Does the Lord not need to say it over again? The same was in the beginning with God. There is no sin. There is no iniquity. There is no transgression. That is above His power. That is above His willingness to forgive, to take away. That is now the reason that He came into this world. This is the great wisdom of God that is found in this Logos, one word from Him, and it is done. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That is the power. That is the love. That is the grace that is living in the thoughts of God and that is coming out through the Word, His only begotten Son. Then they sing like we do. Now heavenly truth unites with grace. Now righteousness and peace embrace. Oh, then they sing. When they may know something, the smallest things, oh, the greatest things, there is no small thing. They are such great things that are living in the mind of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared. O congregation, did He ever declare Him? Was He ever declared in your own soul? That you may know Him, that you may worship Him as the Father would have you to worship Himself, and as the Father would have you to worship His only begotten Son. Oh, that poor father of that lunatic boy, he had nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. He said to the Lord Jesus, He says, I asked thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And they could not. And where else now can he go? Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. I charge you, O thou dumb and deaf spirit, to come out of him and to enter no more into him. Did he come out? He had to come out. Why? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. No, that is no vain repetition. Because when a man experiences the smallest part of this, oh, then he wants to know it again. He wants to hear it again. He wants to experience it again. That he is with God and that he is God. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Lord Jesus, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The works that I do, they are done by my Father. Oh, there is nothing that is declared by the Son that is not ratified in heaven itself. By his own Father, against whom we have sinned, who is our very judge, because Christ himself is the very Word. He is the very Logos. He is the very communication, even just in his being, his whole being that is speaking unto men, his very coming. That is declaring the Father's love. His death that is declaring the justice of his Father. The resurrection from the dead. That is a communication. Oh, was that ever now declared in your own heart? In the heart of the dead. What it is from the Father. The thoughts of the Father. That he is now satisfied. That justice has been satisfied. And that there is now a resurrection from the dead. Because of that foundation that he has laid. Oh, that calling of Christ, of his disciples, and ascending them forth. That is the thought of God. That is being declared in the midst of this world. That God is going to give unto his Son that inheritance that he has promised unto him. Oh, that sending of his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Oh, then we see that the Father's will, that the Father's heart is declared. And when his Son sends forth that Spirit, and the Father says, I am going to do what I have set out to do. I am sending my Holy Spirit, and with great power, he is going to go forth to bring in that seed that will serve my only begotten Son, who will communicate unto them my desire, my glory, that they may worship me and my only begotten Son as we truly are. All things were made by him. Oh, they were made by him, congregation, with just one word. Let there be light. Is that not easy for the Lord? Is there not such a great power in him? Is there not such great willingness in him? In all your impossibility, in the impossibility of death, not merely with the struggle not to die, but you say, I am dead already, that there is no hope. All then is declared unto you the Word of God. All things made by him who is both with God and who is God. That is why he spake, in a vision to his Holy One, I have laid help upon one that is mighty to take up out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay. Are there those that are sitting, that are laying, that are in that pit, in that miry clay, wherefore Paul says he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that great and triune God, in all thy love, in all thy wisdom, and with all thy power, O give us an impression of who that thou art, that we may rightly stand in awe, that we may rightly pray and supplicate to thee, that thou wouldst send forth thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldest raise us from the dead, that thou wouldest communicate unto us thy blessed grace, that we may worship thee, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, with our bodies, with our whole existence, with our whole being, that we may be restored unto that blessed estate, and that we may be raised even above what thou hast created us in paradise. O look on us, Lord, in thy mercy. Bless thy word to that end. Bring us safely to our places and help us again in the week that lies before us. Remember each one in their place, in the hospital and at the graveside in a special way. Forgive all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.